Hello, and welcome to the Austin Therapy Podcast. I'm Kate. I have a background in psychology and a cold, and I'm joined by
Teresa. I have a background in social work and I don't have a cold.
No, Teresa messaged today and said, I'm bitchy. And I said, well, I have a cold, so this will be a fun record. So, woohoo, buckle up.
We're back, kind of. We haven't started a new book yet, but we are starting to watch the miniseries of Pride and Prejudice again. And rather than start back at the beginning, because who would do that after, 9 months of not watching them? We just jumped right back in where we were. So we watched episode 3 of the BBC Pride and Prejudice miniseries.
And I mean, it's okay to jump back in because I've memorized it, but I'm not sure if Teresa remembered the thread of things, but
I don't even know if I remember Pride and Prejudice as a story. For those who only listen to our podcast, we've been doing shorts over on Instagram of the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, which also follows the same story arc. And there are times where I'm like, I don't know what happens next. Even though I've read the book, I've watched the movie, I've seen literature, I've seen stuff. I can't tell you what happens in the majority of Pride and Prejudice. I'm a bad Janeite.
You just have to watch it and read it multiple times and then it sticks. Because I am a mood reader. I read for vibes. If someone asks me what happens in a book, unless I've read it 12 times, I don't know.
Yeah, that's me. People always say goldfish have bad memories, and I don't know if that's actually true, but I feel like a goldfish where it's like, if it's not immediately in front of me or I haven't been immediately reading it, no clue. I watch the same things over and over and over again because I don't remember. I can't tell you what happened. I can't tell you what happened 5 minutes ago. What have we been talking about? I don't know.
Woohoo! ADHD brains. Let's go.
Okay. I'm going to go a little out of order, but I feel like we need to address the overarching theme of this episode,
I have a voice note from you that I need to play.
Well, this is the overarching theme I'm talking about, Kate. So if you pull that up, that can intro this overarching theme we should talk about.
Oh my God, it's so gay. It's so, so gay. It's so gay.
Yeah, it's so fucking gay. This episode is so coded for gayness.
Yeah. It's Teresa was texting me while we watched, and one of the first things that Teresa said was in this the conversation that Lizzie and Charlotte are having about Charlotte now being engaged to Mr. Collins is, I'm not romantic, you know. And Teresa said, no, because you're gay or ace.
Yeah.
Just so angry.
Charlotte says this in, she's like, I'm not a romantic, so it's fine. I'm engaged to this weird dude who I don't like. And all that went through my head because she's making this intense, awkward eye contact with Lizzie is like, yes, because you're in love with Lizzie and that's where your romance is happening. And or you actually fall somewhere in the aromantic, asexual spectrums of things, which could all be possible. But I do think it's more on the you're in love with Lizzie side based on how they film the rest of this episode and their interactions. There are so many times where I'm like, oh my God, they're going to make out now. They're just going to make out. Or they're waiting for everyone else to leave so they can fuck. That is how this episode is coded.
I think this episode really, at least the start of it, felt very much like a breakup that Lizzie didn't see coming, and she's sad but understands it because they never actually could be together because queerness isn't allowed. And it was just the way that they were sad for each other. And I don't want to say that you can't have intense friendships that have that much love and affection in them, but this felt so different. It felt Lizzie had this layer of possessiveness around Charlotte, and Charlotte was almost like being extra mean in the way she was kind of explaining to Lizzie about why she's with Mr. Collins. What, you assume that he can't get anybody else because you rejected him? And it was like very much like, oh, you thought that you were going to be roommates with this person for the rest of your life, roommates with air quotes, but now you're breaking up and realizing that you're going in different directions.
Yes. And okay, so when I sent you that voice memo, the scene that happens, they have all gone to what's their house? Hungsford. They have all gone to Hungsford and they are being shown around, and Mr. Collins is weird and Les is like, look, this beautiful closet with shelves. And I'm like, there are shelves in that closet so that Charlotte can't hide in there or hide her secret lesbian lover in there. But that's a side note. Anyways, he's like, oh, and now I'm going to go show Sir Lucas his room. And everyone else leaves, and it's just Charlotte and Lizzie left in the room, smiling and staring at each other, kind of getting a little bit closer to each other. And then it goes black. And I'm like, yeah, because it's the BBC and they can't show them having sex in this. But like, that is what they have just demonstrated. It's so gay. It's so gay.
Well, and they're looking out because he took Charlotte's dad out to look at his gardens. And then Lizzie and Charlotte are talking about how much Charlotte encourages him to be out of the house, and Charlotte starts listing all of her alone time, and they're kind of like looking at each other, and it's almost like Charlotte's saying, we won't be disturbed, they're not coming back for a while. And Lizzie just kind of has these knowing looks of like, is that what we're doing now? You invited me over to your house after you broke up with me to marry my cousin who I had rejected. Okay, I'm down. It's
Yes.
such a weird vibe.
It's a weird vibe, but I'm so here for it. Like, let's be real. If I had to choose Charlotte and Lizzie over Lizzie and Darcy, I'm choosing Charlotte and Lizzie. And I know that's a controversial take. I know other people, like, I know people love Darcy. And it's not that I don't love Darcy. I just really wish this was a gay romance.
To be fair, I do think that Lizzie has a type.
Yes.
Somewhat awkward, a little bit repressed, very logical thinker.
Yes. And like, I don't love this term, but I think both Charlotte and Mr. Darcy are like, they would fall, especially in that time period, into the like late bloomer category. Part of the reason that Charlotte ends up with Collins, or that we're led to suspect she ends up with Collins, is that she is old and no one else has offered her marriage, so her options are limited. And Darcy's like not a young guy when he, you know, falls in love with Lizzie.
26.
Yeah, so he's like, he's not young young, but he's also like, you know, and he takes care of his sister. He's an older soul, maybe.
Yeah. They give off vibes of like people who aren't really that interested in romance. And maybe like Darcy had lots of responsibilities and he hasn't trusted anyone to actually, you know, have feelings because are they after my money and all of those sorts of things. They both Charlotte and Darcy kind of come off as people who are very pragmatic about those things. And Darcy has the advantage of not needing to get married. So until Lizzie, he just hadn't thought about it that much. Having said that, there are so many sequels to Pride and Prejudice that get down to the dirty stuff. And in almost every one, it's like, of course he's had other experiences. And every single time, I'm like, I don't care what the history is. I don't care what the probability is. That just feels so not Darcy.
Yeah, that feels like if Jane Austen was alive now, what would she say about that? I imagine she'd say he hadn't. Like, she writes it, and we see it in this episode that he talks about, like, he's not good in social situations. He hasn't really had an interest in engaging with people. I suspect he has always kind of been the like, I have responsibilities. I'm focusing on that. I'm reading my books. I'm doing my own things. And just like maybe never crossed his mind.
I mean, maybe it did cross his mind, but I feel like he would have so much anxiety. He'd be like, what if somebody found out? What if somebody wants to use this again against me? What if Wickham has spies? I'm not gonna do, like, it just never makes sense to me. But it's always like, Darcy has experience, but Elizabeth doesn't. I'm like, no, Lizzie and Charlotte definitely had some dirty books that they went through together, which may be another fan fiction that I read at some point.
So what you're telling me is that what I need to do next is find the fan fiction that puts Lizzie and Charlotte together in a secret love affair.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Whoever's out there listening, if you know what that fan fiction is, comment on our Instagram with it so I can go find it.
Send Teresa your archive of our own
Yeah,
fan
or you
fiction
can message us. You
recommendation.
don't have to put it out there publicly. You can just message
Yeah,
us.
if you're a little embarrassed, Teresa will get those messages.
I
But
want to
no
know.
spoilers, so make sure you don't got any Mary Crawford or anything crossing over in those stories.
Yeah, because I don't know who that is. So,
Yeah.
yeah, be thoughtful, people. I don't know. I've only read two books. That's as much as I can get. Now that we've covered all the, well, we're going to
No,
circle
we're
back
gonna
to the
go back to,
gayness. It's going to happen. But now that we've at least addressed that this is a very gay episode, we can maybe start back at the beginning. Which, so I live texted you all of my thoughts as we were watching this, mostly so I wouldn't forget. So those are my notes for this time around. So we'll see how this goes. But we had been chatting when it very first started because my version of watching it is a little bit different than yours. So I was watching the title sequence, and I don't think that was on yours. And so I was watching it, and all I could think about, and I don't know if this made it into an episode or if I edited it out, but there was one point while we were recording where you sang the title song very badly that I had no clue what you were singing. Yeah, I like, okay. I still can't, like, that's still not the song, Kate.
It totally is 100%.
Okay, you tell yourself that. But we start the episode off real strong with Kitty and Lydia, who I can't tell apart at this point. I don't remember who's who. You told me at one point, you were like, that one's, I think you said that one's Lydia. I am sure I will watch next episode and be like, who's who? I still don't know. But anyways, they come running in and they announce Charlotte's engagement to Mr. Collins, and Lizzie is just so like almost disgusted, I feel like, is like the emotions playing on her face. And I was like, yes, I agree, Lizzie. I am disgusted by this choice too. I mean, I get it, but I'm disgusted by this choice too because I hate this man with a fiery passion. Yeah, he's the worst. I hate him so much. And I'm still mad about it. I'm still mad at Jane Austen for putting Charlotte with Collins. I'm mad about it.
But like, that's a big part of Jane Austen is, yes, this is kind of like a millionaire romance where like Lizzie's got a millionaire swooping in to, romance her. Enemies to lovers, millionaire style. But she also tries to like remind you of reality. And like the reality is, there's a lot of Collins and there's a lot of Charlottes who ended up having to marry because that was what they needed to do to survive.
I also still think that there are a lot of Charlottes and Collins who end up together nowadays. And I like, it is my worst nightmare that I will one day end up with a Collins because I've felt pressure. And like, I don't actually think I'll get married anyways. And I don't think I'll get married to someone I don't like. But it like, it is, there is this part of me that is such a people pleaser that I worry that like, if the wrong person proposed to me, I'd just be like, well, I guess now I'm married, and be really sad about it and be like, I guess this is how life happens. Even in this day and age, I know it still happens for people.
Well, and I guess like there is also that layer of Charlotte being queer rep in heteronormativity because she's just following the script of what you're supposed to do. And there's so many people who realize later that they were queer because they didn't have that script for, oh, I'm allowed to do this. And that is changing to a certain degree, but it is why I think Charlotte resonates from that queer space, is because you can look at it and be like, oh, it hasn't changed that much.
Right. Which makes me really sad. This is an old story. This is not, it's not like she wrote this 10 years ago and we're like, oh, things haven't changed. This was written a long ass time ago.
Yeah, like 200
years ago.
And things
have not changed.
No, change is slow. Yeah.
Yes. But it makes me sad. I do appreciate when Lizzie is complaining to Jane about this engagement. Jane does bring in that voice of reason of like, Charlotte's not stupid. Charlotte also only has so many options. And like, people are marrying out of convenience because they have to, or not even convenience, but obligation.
For Charlotte, if she doesn't get married, she will be reliant on her brothers to take care of her after her father goes.
Right.
So like, this is also one of the only ways that she could get independence, air quotes around that, because it's not really independence, it's just having another man be in charge. But I think there's a part of it where Charlotte looks at Collins and she's like, yeah, I can manage that dude. Like,
right.
I can manipulate that dude into giving me what I need and not being too much of a nuisance.
And Jane does put it out there of like, he's not a bad man. I'd argue by today's standards, like, he's a misogynistic asshole who like is a bad guy. But by the standards then, right? Like, I think Jane even says, like, it's not like he'll be physically abusive. Right?
Right.
And like, the bar was very low then. The bar is still very low, but the bar was very low then. And it is a little bit of that calculation of, can I handle this? Can I put together a life that will be happy enough? And we find that Charlotte finds a way to do that.
Yeah. You go play in your garden. I'm gonna stay in here far, far away from you.
Right. Which, like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, it could be worse. I'm still mad about it because I hate Colin so much because he is such a misogynist. And I like Charlotte so much that I want her to be happy. But no, I'm just mad about it. I'm still mad about it. There's no but. I'm just mad about it. I want to find a silver lining to this. I'm just mad about it.
I know that during that scene where, like, Jane's being the voice of reason, the letter comes saying that the Bingleys have left.
Mm-hmm.
And the note that you sent me was, this is a sad part of the book/show. I'm going to hate this episode.
Yeah, it's a sad episode. It's like the whirlwind of the worst things that happen in the book. I mean, besides, you know, the like big dramatic stuff that happens at the end, but the like little sad things of Charlotte gets engaged to Collins and gets married and moves away. And then Bingley and Darcy leave and Jane is crushed. And like, they're not big devastating Lydia runs off with Wickham scandal sad, but they're both like really devastating sad things that happen. I was like, I'm gonna hate this. I'm gonna hate, I don't want to watch sad TV. I want to watch happy TV. And I didn't fully hate the episode. It like progresses far enough that it's fine, but it was sad.
Yeah, and sad, and Jane is sad. I don't know if Charlotte is sad so much as resigned.
Yeah.
But I like that after we get the letter and we're sad, and Lizzie's like, yeah, stop being nice about Caroline. There's just some really prominent horse butt.
That was my next text to you, was I'm gonna hate this episode. And then I said, that's some nice horse butt. Because you watch Bingley and Darcy on horses, like beside the carriage. It's just like horse butt, horse butt, horse butt, horse butt. It's great. They're nice horses too.
Yeah,
There's a
they were
lot of
very
horse riding in
beautiful.
this episode, actually.
I guess, yeah.
We also see Darcy on a horse later on.
We will see more of Darcy doing weird things as we progress.
Excellent.
What do you think Caroline's role has been in separating Bingley from Jane? Do you think that she has that much power over him?
I mean, I know because I've read the book. Like, I can remember some stuff, Kate. I know I started this episode saying I remember nothing. I can remember some stuff. I mean, I think Bingley holds the opinions of others quite highly. And I think he probably takes that into account a lot. And so, whether it was Darcy or Caroline that he took the advice from, I do think he is influenced by both. I think where I don't feel like him taking Caroline's opinion is around the, like, and now he's going to marry Darcy's sister and it's all going to be great because then I'll marry Darcy. Like, he doesn't quite fall for that part. And I think my suspicion is that Caroline doesn't actually know Bingley well enough, that she doesn't give him enough time to move on from Jane before she's trying to force this other partnership. And I think had she played her cards better and she had waited long enough and been more subtle about it, I could have seen things going that way.
Maybe. I guess I do kind of think that Georgiana and Jane have similar energies, just the age difference.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the other thing. Like, Georgiana's also young. And so it's like also a little weird that Caroline's like, marry this girl who's very young. When, like, we find out later, which I very surely know that Caroline doesn't know, but that, like, she's already been put into a position with an older guy who is trying to take advantage of her, and Darcy's extra wary of people that, like, forcing that match now is not super helpful.
I think Darcy would have been totally fine with Bingley and his sister, because he would have been like, you're like the softest puppy in the world. She's fine with you.
Yeah, that's true. But even then, I think Darcy would be like, yo, my sister's still too young. Wait 5 years.
Well, I mean, she's out.
Still.
I find it sort of just like this. She's very obviously being mean to Jane to kind of get Jane to not continue pursuing. It's like
I
you're
mean, she's mean. We just see her, like, she's just a mean person, right? And we see that she comes to visit Jane when Jane is in London, and she's a bitch and doesn't stay long and is mean to everyone and leaves.
I mean, the good part of that is that Jane realizes how wrong she's been.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, Jane. I mean, it sucks that it took that extreme for you to wake up, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as we've said, Jane wants to see the best in everyone. It just doesn't do her well often.
No. We have the gardeners show up. Is that? No, the gardeners don't quite show up yet. But you forget who Lydia and Kitty are, which one's which.
Yep.
We're walking with Wickham. And just like, how is this dude this bold?
Yeah, he literally tells her, I must be entirely open with you. Just bold faced lying.
I think part of what makes watching these things still good, even when you know what's going to happen, is that now you can fully sit there and root for Wickham to his downfall. You're just sitting there being like, I can't wait for you to be crushed.
It's true. I think that is what is done really well, because, and what makes the book timeless and what makes the story timeless, is that the first time you read it, there is a little bit of like, that guy's actually like, he seems okay. Right. Like, you don't expect him to be the villain, right? You've got Collins, who's at the forefront of your mind, who you're like, you're an asshole, you're the villain, I hate you. And Wickham is charming and sweet, and Lizzie likes him, and you like Lizzie. So you're kind of like, eh, he seems like an interesting, nice guy. Maybe there will be conflict between him and Darcy on like how they end up together, but you don't expect the villain arc that we get.
Right.
And so the first time you read it, it is like this big, bold, shocking reveal. And then going through it again and like watching it in different medias, I'm sure rereading it, there is a little bit of like, I have your number. I'm seeing this coming, dude. You are horrible. And it's going to be amazing when everyone knows how horrible you are. The issue is, I don't actually think he gets what he deserves. I think he gets off pretty easily. But you do know that, like, there is a little bit of, yeah, that reveling in his downfall.
Yeah. I appreciate this Wickham. I mean, he's written in a very different way from the one from the movie. He's just more openly boldface ass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just, you can tell by the way that he's telling the story, it's almost like he believes it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. He's a good Wickham, but he's a horrible human.
Yep. He's also, like, he is very handsome and charming in this, too. I think he portrays a really good Wickham. I prefer this Wickham to movie Wickham.
Yeah, he's got a little more personality, and that's just the way that it was directed, I think.
I think it's the way it was directed. You also get more of him and his personality in things versus in the movie. He's, like, in five scenes, maybe, and you're like, cool, that's the bad guy. Oh, bye. Like, he's just gone.
Right? Yeah.
Like,
well, they downplay his villainy in the movie a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Versus, like, they're building seeds in this of him saying, I'm going to be entirely honest with you. And then later, when he meets Mrs. Gardner talking about, like, oh, you live near the house, and did you ever meet the elder Mr. Darcy? He was so lovely, right? Like, and he's playing these things up a little bit, and you get a little bit more of that side of things that I feel like we got in the book versus the movie.
Yeah. And then the Bennett family sitting around, and they do a little bitch about Darcy. And you quoted the Mr. Bennett, Darcy, we might find out that Darcy is no more a black-hearted villain than your average rich man.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary very poignantly is like, yeah, let's not judge people.
Mary's so Mary in this.
I know. I love Mary. It's just like religiously matter-of-facting all of these things, but also very poignantly is correct.
Mm-hmm.
You picked up on the way that Mr. and Mrs. Bennett are talking to each other in this scene, that they're not, like, Mr. Bennett's maybe sparring, but Mrs. Bennett is not fighting in her weight class.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Bennett just can very easily, like, be mean. Mrs. Bennett isn't intentionally being mean, continually talking about when her husband dies, but he kind of, like, cuts back at her and is like, well, maybe I'll outlive you.
Yeah. Which, like, is such a good comeback and such a dick move all at the same time. I will say, I think that this interpretation of the Bennett parents is more accurate to the book than the movie was, where it was like weird, like, they might have sex.
It's yeah, weird. After she looks at the pig balls.
Right. Like, this is weird. Versus this feels more true to their relationship of, like, Mrs. Bennett's annoying and overreacts to a lot of things. And Mr. Bennett's like, God, I married this annoying woman, but I guess I live with her and we're married. This is how life is.
It's such a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, it kind of speaks to why the Bennett sisters maybe don't have great examples of what love should look like. So there is maybe idealistic versions of mm-hmm. like, I don't want what my parents have.
Right?
Do you also mention in here, and I think this was from the conversation that Lizzie was having where she was kind of hopeful that another Mr. Collins would come around again or something like that. But you said, am I pessimistic, Lizzie? What did you mean about that in that moment?
I mean, I don't remember what scene that was, if I'm honest, but like, I think I have been single for a long time. And there is a little bit of this, like, well, maybe I'm going to be single forever and I've passed my prime. And also, like, the world is horrible and people are horrible. And I'm never, like, there's never going to be anyone nice. And I'm like, oh, damn it, am I being pessimistic, Lizzie? You, however, were very sweet and said we probably are all pessimistic, Lizzie, and that we're just in the middle of our growth arc before we meet the one, which is very sweet of you, but I think I'm more pessimistic than that.
I mean, that's where Lizzie's at, right? Like, Lizzie is pessimistic because she hasn't had a romance. She's, you know, 21. She's not quite bitter, but she's just kind of like, I'll, you know, if I don't find someone, okay, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I read it a little more bitter. Maybe because I feel bitter. I don't know.
Yeah. And then the gardeners show up.
Mm-hmm. And it's a weird scene when they show up. It's awkward. And I mean, I thought it was awkward because I felt like everyone was stiff and like, it just like it felt like interesting acting choices for how they were interacting with each other, particularly Mrs. Gardner. Like, there's this interesting moment where Mrs. Bennett only kisses her on one cheek and she's just like left standing there being a little bit like, and my other cheek. And then either Kitty or Lydia comes up and is like, oh, did you bring me a present? And she's holding this box and like won't hand it over to them, like keeps holding on to the box. And like, it's just a little weird.
So I'm pretty sure this was them coming for the holidays.
Yes.
I read the tension as basically Mrs. Gardner not liking Mrs. Bennett that much.
Probably.
But having to put up with her brother's sister. And that, like, you probably remember from the book, maybe, that like Lydia coming up and being like, do you have presents for us? Is like a bratty kid, but she's 15 and out, and she's supposed to be an adult. And it's just like the awkwardness and the stiffness in this, and then it plays into the next scene. And I remember they're going inside and Mrs. Bennett's all like, oh, but if we could stay in, I prefer staying and I don't like going out. And it's like, no, you do. You love going out and showing off. But when they're there and it's Mrs. Phillips and Mrs. Bennett, so the sisters, and Mrs. Gardner, the sister-in-law, mm-hmm. sitting there, and the two of them are like gossiping and whatever, and Mrs. Gardner's just sitting there like, the look that I get from it is just her being like, I don't want to be here. Right. I want
Let me
to
go home.
Go home.
Yeah.
And for me, it's kind of like the healthy parental figures have finally showed up. Mm-hmm. And so they have to kind of show that there's tension there because they are so different from mm-hmm. Mr. and Mrs. Bennett. That's sort of my interpretation of it. And the thing, like, this is like Wickham comes over and this is where we get the conversation with Mrs. Gardner. And there was a point in this where Lydia was playing cards and then got up and screamed to like make everyone dance. And I was like trying to tell you, that's Lydia.
Oh, you did. Yeah. And the issue is not necessarily that I can't tell, like, which character is which character. I can't tell the actresses apart.
They look so different.
Yes, I know they look different, but in my mind, like, I have a hard time keeping straight. Like, not when they're doing something, like, I can tell, like, oh, that's a Lydia personality thing.
Right.
Right. But when they're just kind of like there, and I'm like, they blend for me. Yeah.
Yeah,
And
which is like also, I think, part of how their character is written.
yeah, I do appreciate that there's a scene when they start dancing. Mrs. Gardner's watching, and you can tell she's watching Lizzie and Wickham dancing and like picking up on, like, oh, there's something there. Like, this is, I'm paying attention to this. But then she also looks over at Jane and sees Jane sitting there looking kind of sad. And you can just tell, like, oh, this is an adult who's picking up on what's going on in these girls' lives,
Yeah,
because
yeah.
their parents have picked up on none of this.
This is an adult being actually observant.
Yeah. An adult actually has entered the room. And so I just find that really interesting. And I like this Mrs. Gardner so far. She seems like a good Mrs. Gardner.
I think there's a scene in here that gets missed because she does observe Wickham and Lizzie together in the book, and then kind of talks to Lizzie to be like, this would be a really impractical match. Do you actually like him that much? And Lizzie evaluates her feelings, is kind of like, yeah, actually, no, I don't like him that much. This is just flirting. This is just
Right, this is
fun.
fun.
And then Wickham moves on to Mary King.
Right, who I could not remember who Mary King was at all. I texted this to you of, like, I vaguely remember this as a plot point that, like, he had moved on, but it kind of, and in this episode, kind of blends with when she goes away anyway. So I was just kind of like, meh, like, this person's not that important. And so when they were like, oh, that's Mary King, I was like, did they just write in a new character that we're gonna have to, like, figure out? I had this moment where I was like, oh, BBC's taking a hard left here and creating a whole new storyline.
Well, the purpose of that is to kind of examine Lizzie's sexist view on like marriage and relationships, and it doesn't happen in the series, but in the book. There is that conversation around him basically being a fortune chaser, a mercenary, and that is supposed to contrast with Charlotte, who has made this decision for her financial security. And so why is it that she judges Charlotte, but she doesn't judge Wickham? Which is like, in reality, Charlotte should be the one who gets the good grace.
Right.
Of she doesn't have options. Wickham has the ability to make income in ways that Charlotte never could.
Right.
So they kind of skip over that, and then they have a conversation between Lizzie and Wickham that pulls from pieces of that conversation that she's supposed to have with Mrs. Gardner. But yeah, it's overall the Mary King aspect, both in the book and in the series, isn't that important, other than it just shows that Wickham is fickle and is a fortune chaser.
Right. Which I think they could have demonstrated in other ways too, right? Like, I don't think there's a lot lost if we don't have a Mary King in the story.
I mean, yes and no, like it reinforces it, and then like there was this subtle moment where he's dancing with Lizzie where Mary King kind of smiles at him. So this has been going on for a while. So you get the impression that Wickham probably is flirting with multiple girls at multiple times. Yeah, I think it is an important, maybe not an important character, but it is an important piece of Wickham's character that he is someone who chases after women with money. And basically in the book, like it he kind of gets shut down from Mary King's money, kind of moves on. And like, well, he like kind of starts circling back to Lizzie a little bit, doesn't he?
Right.
He does. And then Lizzie rejects him. And then I almost feel like he goes after Lydia as revenge for that. But like, we'll get there and we'll see if that plays out here. But yeah, Jane decides to go with the gardeners to London.
Yep.
For a break so that she's less sad.
But then I think she's even more sad because she sees Caroline, who's a bitch.
Yeah. It doesn't play out so well.
No, because they essentially like sit down with her probably for like 10 minutes and are like, oh, we're leaving. Bye. And then we'll call on you tomorrow or the next day. 3 weeks later, shows up, is a huge bitch, leaves.
In between that, we've got the introduction of Huntsford. And
yep.
We
all
get
the gayness
to,
that happens there.
We get to go back into the gayitude. I've got a message from Teresa that says, oh my God, this is so gay. And then I got a rainbow flag that just says, gay.
It's so gay, Kate. You act as if I'm the only one who thinks this. I think you think it's equally as gay as I think it is. I'm just more vocal about it.
I do. I just think it's really cute that you're just like, gay! Gay!
Yeah. It just goes to show things have been queer-coded forever. And it's out there.
We've got queer-colored glasses. Everything. Just got a layer of it.
Exactly. Everything's just gay. Gay, gay, gay.
And yeah, Collins is awkward and annoying.
Yes. And I think this version of Collins, I told you that he looks like he would be a close talking spitter. Like he's going to talk right up close to your face and also be spitting on you. And it'll be gross and weird. And when you try and back up, he will just move closer into your space.
Yeah. And you can't tell if it's because he doesn't understand boundaries or because he is actually trying to make a power play move.
Right?
Like sometimes you think it's because he doesn't get boundaries and other times you're like, are you angry? I think you're angry.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
He's just, yeah. I just, ugh.
Yeah. And so we got the closet scene here with the shelves, which is just supposed to show that Collins is impractical, but Teresa thinks it means that he's doing it so Charlotte can't go back in the closet. Which, you know, kind of doesn't make sense because he would want Charlotte in the closet so that she stays with him.
I guess.
Like, unless we're changing the entire arc and Collins knows that she's gay, and he is too, and they're just full bearding for each other, and he is fully aware and okay with the relationship with Lizzie. Like, that's a way to write
it.
I'd
be more acceptable. That would feel more acceptable to me if they were each other's beards. I wouldn't hate Collins as much.
Right. Yeah.
But I just think he's a dick.
Yeah. This was the scene where Collins has taken Mr. William Lucas outside to see his gardens, and Lizzie and Charlotte are standing at the window, and Charlotte's telling Lizzie all of the things that she gets Collins to do in a day to yep. like be outside and away from her, and they're just kind of like, you know that what you're supposed to be reading into this is like Charlotte figured out how to make this work for her. And like Lizzie's picking up on this too. Like, does he really need to water his roses every single day? And Charlotte's like, the fresh air is good for him. But also, there's this layer of like, this is the reunion after their sort of kind of breakup. And they're standing at the window being like, he won't be back for a really long time. He's got a lot to show them out there. They're just like staring at each other, being like, what are we actually talking about?
Right. What can we do with all of this time? It's so gay. I love the
Did you see
gayness.
Lizzie's eyebrow raise at the very end there? Seriously, they're gonna fuck.
It's true. At the very end, they like do this cutaway scene, and it's just Lizzie like giving a little eyebrow raise of like, yeah, huh? Yeah, it's gonna happen. And then they cut away to their they've gone over to what's her face's lady. They've gone over to Lady Catherine's house.
Rosings Park.
Rosings Park, which I want to know where they filmed that, because it does look like quite a beautiful estate, like the grounds that they're on. I'd be really curious to know where that is.
I'm sure we could just Google it.
Yeah, I feel like we should go to England and just do a Jane Austen tour of England at some point, Kate.
That's a thing.
Yeah, I think we should do it, but like our own self-directed one. I don't want to take a tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lady Catherine appears. We've got her very sort of menacing, but also like, I don't know. I'm just gonna go with
She's
menacing
just
music.
weird.
Yeah. And
I have a 1 second voice memo here, and I have no clue what I said in this.
I miss Judi Dench.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, you missed Judi Dench. And I actually prefer this Lady Catherine. She's more oblivious and less mean. Like, she's mean, but like in her own little world of meanness, like selfish mean.
I totally agree. I like this Lady Catherine, but like Judi Dench is such an icon
Yeah.
that like n that's the only person I can now can think of in that role is Judi Dench, which I know when I watched it, all I could think of was that's Judi Dench, and I couldn't think of Lady Catherine. But I like there's just something about it where I'm like, that should just be Judi Dench. I don't know why.
Yeah.
That should just be Judi Dench. She'd be perfect in this.
You mentioned that you feel like this actress was young but given a weird hat, so she looked old.
Yeah, they like put this like head covering thing on her that's like half tilted and like not sitting properly on her head. So it's like she looks a little disheveled to like maybe make her look older. I don't know, but I like it, she doesn't look like she is an older, distinguished lady as I would expect her
She's,
to
I
be.
mean,
But I do think she fits within this adaptation of how they've portrayed characters. Does that make sense?
yes. I mean, the actress was 60. Judi Dench was, I think, closer to 70, but that's how old Lady Catherine should be,
Right.
is like 60-ish.
Right.
She's not on
She's
her
not like a
deathbed.
9-year-old, which is, I think,
No.
what I picture in my bed.
This is really old, crotchety grandma, is what you imagine.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I love this Lady Catherine. Like, the glare that she just kind of gives at the ends of all of it. It's just like, yeah,
You
you're.
can tell that she hates Lizzie in this. You can just tell that, like, Lizzie gets under her skin in this one.
Lizzie gets under her skin. Basically, just by having an opinion.
Yes, by just existing.
Yeah. And then, they're out walking and having a good little walk the next day. Just Mariah and Charlotte and Lizzie. And Collins runs out being like, "My dear, my dear." Because Darcy and Fitzy have come by. And Charlotte's like, "He would never come by. For me, this must be because of you, Lizzie." And Lizzie's like, "No, I don't think so." And then you meet them and you're like, "Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. Darcy is such a weirdo."
He's like doing like weird, creepy, like, I'm gonna glare at you like I hate you with a passionate fire looks. Like, he does not look happy to be there. Or, like, I'm here under obligation to my aunt. She said she had horrible guests and needed some backup. Like, he looks like he's being like held hostage in the room with Lizzie.
Which, like, to be fair, he did come over to the Collinses, so he probably does feel a little bit like he's being held hostage.
That's fair.
But the staring is so bizarre.
Yes. I do love Fitzy in this one. William Fitzwilliams.
Colonel
What's his name?
Fitzwilliams.
Yeah, Fitzwilliams. I like him in this one. I'm going to call him Fitzy because I think it's cuter. He's very gentle and like he gives off a little bit of Bingley energy, I feel like,
right,
in the like nice, soft ways that I like.
He must be his uncle's son. Yes, that makes sense. Because Fitzwilliam is Darcy's first name, which
yes,
probably means that it's his mother's maiden name, which means that they're both related to Lady Catherine,
who is related to
Darcy's mom.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's just my brain being like Fitzwilliam.
Yeah, weird name to choose. I did tell you that if the story had taken a turn here and Lizzie ended up with Fitzwilliams, I wouldn't have been mad about it, especially this version. Like, he just seems like a genuinely nice guy. And I'm like, okay, I'd be okay with that. I think, like, the pairing that I'd be more okay with would have been if Charlotte ended up with Fitzwilliams, of like, oh, that's a nice pairing. And then we could just, I don't know, get rid of Collins. But I like him, especially in this adaptation. I really like him.
In this adaptation, he's cute. He's, I would go so far as saying maybe hot. He's soft. He's polite. He's social. You can tell that he would make a good match with Lizzie.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be the vibe that you get in the book, too. Because Lizzie and him basically have a conversation where he's like, yeah, I have to marry for money. Can't be you.
Right. You do send this text at one point because, you know, Fitzwilliams is talking about things that Darcy has told him about Lizzie and how he's heard good things about Lizzie. And you send, Darcy's confessed his love to Fitz. And then you follow that up with, I mean, ... about Lizzie. And I was like, it would be a really hilarious turn if they were both gay. And Darcy was like, Fitzy, I love you. And Fitzwilliams was like, dude, we're cousins. And then he was like, well, I guess I'll marry this other gay person so we can be gay together.
I mean,
and that's how they ended up together.
It would be really cute, but I don't get that vibe between Darcy and Fitz. Maybe Darcy and Bingley, but Darcy and Fitz give more like, we're best friends who need to take care of my sister.
Yeah. They're brothers. Right? Like they have a brotherly affectionate.
Yeah. Well, and they seem to like very much be integrated in that family kind of way. And that I love the piano scene and the way that they interact there, because Fitzwilliam's like, oh, yeah, tell me about Darcy. I am interested to know.
Right, he's teasing him a little bit.
He is ready to like be there with the teasing of Darcy. It's a very good brotherly energy.
I do think that like that would be a really fun Christmas dinner after Lizzie and Darcy are married, and knowing that like Fitzy would be there for, you know, those bigger like holidays and stuff, and just watching Lizzie and Fitzy gang up on Darcy. I think that would be excellent.
I think Fitzy has some Tilly energy.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, if we wanted to like tie the stories together, I could see those two being friends.
Well, I like those two and Lizzie.
Yeah.
Kind of like just sitting back and teasing their partners.
Yes.
Though I think Darcy and Catherine wouldn't get along very well, because Catherine would be like, is your house haunted? And Darcy would be like, please step away from me.
Right. You are weird.
Go talk to my sister. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Darcy could probably talk about books. We know that he loves He loves books.
It's true. And maybe if they had a common intersection of book interests, they could work that with each other.
Yes. Which, like, we do know that Tilly would like would at least think that Darcy isn't stupid because he likes books.
True.
And then I also love in that scene where Lizzie's teasing Darcy. He's just like fidgeting with his little pinky ring, and he's got like a little fidget ring because he's awkward. But it is a thing in the best adaptations of Jane Austen heroes that they play with pinky rings. Okay?
Interesting.
You need to pay attention from now on to see when they play with the pinky rings, because the pinky rings, it's coded in my brain now because this is what I watched when I was in high school, that I'm like, oh, pinky rings, so sexy. Like, seriously, it's just like this little thing that he's doing with his hand, and my brain's like, yes.
I feel like there are things that future partners of yours can pick up from our podcast to just like solidify their presence in your life. Like
Yeah, just
pinky rings. There's been a couple
sideburns.
others through the time.
Sideburns.
It's true, you
Yeah.
liked the sideburns in this one, and I'm like, they all have bad sideburns. I don't know if I'm here for it.
I feel like the sideburns is like very queer. And the thing is, I think when I'm looking at a lot of the guys that I'm like, they're attractive, my brain's like, that's because they're a butch lesbian. Like, that's sideburns. So like it's like I really like mullets, but on femme people.
I don't think I knew this about you. I think this is new information.
So I like the sideburns. They feel very queer. Yeah.
Okay,
Darcy
Kate.
did Darcy didn't it doesn't have super bushy sideburns in this though, but Fitz had some nice sideburns, I feel like.
It's true. Yeah, they don't give Colin Firth super sideburns.
Super sideburns.
But everyone else has some like intense sideburns.
I think my brain went to like Dragon Ball Z Super Saiyan Smash. That's what the sideburns are. Extra powerful. Like, where you turn into a monkey. Anyway, you can move on.
Yeah, we're gonna move on now. I never watched Dragon Ball Z, so I have nothing to add to this conversation.
But yes, the fidget ring. I love the fidget ring.
Okay, future partners, take note.
I love the awkwardness in this scene and the back and forth. This feels more like flirting, right? Like they've had back and forth before where they're teasing, and you can definitely see that Lizzie's like, fuck you,
Right.
dude. And Darcy's still trying to figure out his feet to have a comeback or to figure out how she likes to converse. In this, when she's, shall we ask him why? Do, 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 starts playing the piano again and like talking about him to Fitz while he's
Right.
standing there and smiling and kind of like laughing at him. Darcy takes the joke. And like you can tell he's trying to see this as playfulness, not as her actually giving her opinion. Where Lizzie is actually giving her opinion, where she's like, dude, if you don't think you're good at talking to strangers, practice more.
Right.
And he's like, oh, we both of us do not perform for strangers. And he tries to turn it into like, see, we're the same.
It's the closest I think so far that we've gotten to them having like banter and back and forth. So this is the closest that they've been to having a banter back and forth with each other that I think other attempts have felt very awkward and one-sided, but this is the first time where it's felt like this is a two-sided back and forth. And then he comes over, and I don't feel like there's that back and forth anymore. It's just awkwardness.
Oh yeah, where she's at home by herself and he accidentally stumbles in.
Yes, well, because she missed dinner the night before and he comes over that evening and is like
You're
the
skipping,
next day.
you're skipping ahead.
Oh, I thought that was after the first time.
He's just coming over during the date to say hi.
Oh, I thought this was when she didn't go to dinner because she had a headache.
That's after
Oh, that's
Fitzy.
after,
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
Okay. I
So this
skipped
is
ahead.
just him being like, I'm gonna go see and Lizzie's like, I'm here by myself. And he's like, oh, and sits down. And like, you were like, should they be alone together?
Well, yeah, because the maid, I assume, like the person at the house, the maid, like lets him into the room and then closes the door behind her. And it's just the two of them sitting in a room by themselves with the door closed. And I'm like, this could be like problematic territory, technically.
But it's also speaks to why Darcy thinks that there's more intimacy there than there is.
I don't think I had thought of that, but that makes a lot of sense. That, like,
Yeah.
she's okay being in this room by herself with me.
Right. And we did talk a little bit over text about how, like, it is a patriarchal rule that is supposed to protect women so that, like, they don't get set upon by a man who isn't going to marry them, blah, blah, blah. But it is men making rules to protect women after they set up a system that harms women.
Yes.
And it's also, you, like you mentioned, that Darcy is testing the waters in this conversation with her. And they're talking about the fine house
Well, and
and
how far it is from home, and that Charlotte misses seeing her family frequently. And Darcy's like, "You wouldn't mind being away from your family, I'm certain." And it's like, well, yeah, because her family's crazy. So, like, no, she won't. But, like, your question's not landing where you think it is, dude.
well, and this also brings up the fact that, like, this conversation in particular is supposed to also highlight that Darcy doesn't understand differences in wealth. Like, yeah, this would be an easy distance for you to travel, but Charlotte, the Collins do not have that much money. Neither do the Lucases. So, like, it is pretty far.
Yeah, we're not all multimillionaires, dude.
Yeah, he's like dropping hints, and Lizzie's just confused.
And then he just gets up and leaves. I
Yeah.
was like, bye. I'm awkward. Bye.
And then Lizzie is out on her walk and runs into Fitzwilliam, and they have a conversation.
And you texted me something that Fitzwilliams is a good reminder that even nice guys can be steeped in patriarchy. I'm curious if you remember what you meant by that.
Well, I mean, I said good guys because nice guys has a different connotation nowadays.
Okay.
But he's talking about Darcy's triumph in separating his friend from this supposed gold digger chaser. So anyway, Fitzy's like talking about this, and Lizzie's realizing this is about Jane and Bingley. She's getting annoyed. And she says, oh, but like we mustn't assume that there was much affection. And Fitzwilliam says, yes, but it would lessen my cousin's triumph significantly if there wasn't.
Yeah.
She's like, you are a douchebag.
Who, Fitzy or Darcy?
Both.
Well, yeah.
In that moment, I was so mad at Fitzwilliam for like seeing their separation as a triumph. It is so classist. It is so patriarchal that, oh yeah, but if they did feel for each other, oh yeah, my cousin's even more triumphant for separating them.
But
Blech.
that's also though what he's been told, right? He is repeating what he's been told by Darcy and how Darcy has told that story,
Yeah, but
right?
why is
That
it
it is a triumph.
triumphant to separate these people? That's what I'm saying in terms of like his
Yeah, I mean that's a dick
perspective
thing.
is steeped in the systems that are there, that he, even as this good guy that we are supposed to like, and he's softer and he's funny and he's personable, is still someone who is in that system and profiting from it. He is also facing stupid, annoying barriers because of it, because he's a younger son, but also, like, he doesn't seem to understand the concept of how much privilege he has. And, like, also fails to understand the context of who he is talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is a, even if it wasn't about Jaden Bingley, how does he not understand that context? That he is talking to someone who would be in the position of the woman in this story.
Right. Or that he is also talking to someone who is who Darcy is interested in, and he knows that like, this doesn't paint Darcy in a super great light. Darcy might think it does, and clearly Fitzwilliams thinks it does, but like, it actually doesn't paint him in a very good light of like, oh, this guy is a heartbreaker, right? Like, and he revels in breaking people's hearts
for their own good.
Yeah. Like, he thinks he knows better.
So yeah, that's sort of like one of those moments where you're like, oh yeah, okay, don't love the look that you got right now, Fitzy.
Yeah, not any of them.
And then Lizzie has a headache, or fakes having a headache, but we can assume she probably has a headache because she probably looks like she's been crying a whole bunch. And they leave for supper. And the comment that you put, because Charlotte asks if she should stay, you said, I mean, they do say orgasms can help with headaches, so maybe Charlotte should stay.
Yes, because they're gay!
Yeah, but are
it's
they
such a gay episode?
Are they gay in that they're gonna make out and like have sex, or are they gay in that Charlotte just wants to hold hands and read books?
Either of those would be fine.
Yeah, but that's not what happened. They go off for supper without Lizzie, and while Lizzie's by herself with a headache, Darcy shows up.
See, I always thought it was the next day that he came. No. I didn't think it was that night.
Yeah, he comes specifically when she is not feeling well.
Weirdo.
Yeah, because he knows that he can get her alone in that moment. And he's going to propose. Creepy. He doesn't think he's creepy. He thinks he's being romantic. He doesn't have very good skills at social evaluation, as we learn in this scene.
Yes. I will say this scene really solidified for me why I think Colin Firth is my favorite Mr. Darcy adaptation.
Yeah.
He does the awkward so well. And I mean, he's been doing it throughout the entire episode, but this felt so true to the book and felt so true to, like, you can tell that he doesn't think this is weird and that he is like, well, I'm in love with you, so like, now we're getting married and it's fine and it's all great. And then when he gets rejected, he's like, oh, I'm kind of pissed about this, but also you're rejecting me, so I'm hurt, but I'm angry, but I'm awkward about that and I don't know how to say it. He plays it so well. I really like Colin Firth as Mr. Darcy.
Yes, he plays the layers very well.
Yes.
I'm so excited for you to watch Colin Firth's Darcy on the redemption arc, because the way I think he softens Darcy is still awkward. But
which is how Darcy is.
But like, in the right sort of like soft ways. Like, there's like a particular moment that I'm thinking about where I know you were gonna like send me a voice note screaming.
Okay.
maybe multiple ones coming up ahead. But
more to look forward to.
Just from the like sheer that is Darcy and it's so awkward.
Mm-hmm. More to look forward to.
But you said this is a good fight scene. And it is really close to the book. There are a lot of things that are close to The book that Darcy may not have said verbatim, because like Austin put it in as text versus like a back and forth, that they've written very well here as the back and forth of kind of like, here, let me tell you the stream of insults. But this is a, like, this is a fight scene with such good meat to it. Like, you feel it. And it, like, I am really excited for you to watch Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. And then I can make you watch the Jill Barup clip, where she goes into depth on the analysis of the proposal fight scene. Because there's romantic tension in this fight. Because that's what Darcy is fighting for. And then almost like does a retreat because he realizes he's not going to get his goal. And it's kind of like Lizzie being like, I'm going to beat you down. I'm going to beat you down. I'm going to beat you down. And then Darcy being like, okay, I'm going to go.
I've been beaten down. I'm leaving now.
Like, there's nothing else you can say.
I think what I enjoyed of this fight scene is, like, the camera work and the, like, physicality to the acting, in that, like, Colin Firth does a lot of pacing in this,
yeah,
back and forth, where, like, for me, it, like, codes it and you get that sense of agitation in him of, like, I just don't understand. And he's struggling with it, and he's not yelling, right? Like, this scene could be filmed very differently, or could have been written very differently, of him having a massive explosion and like being really angry. But there, you can sense the agitation underneath this, and the like, the breaking of his heart in lots of ways. And you just watch Lizzie sitting there seething at him also. And like, just visually, you can see her seething, and I just loved it so much. The like physical side to the acting of how they did this scene, I thought was very well done.
Well, and I think it's Darcy gets rejected and feels that almost, you can see him feel it immediately, and then asks for an explanation, and you can see him trying not to be angry.
Yeah.
Like, you can see him trying so hard to be like, she said no, I don't have a right to actually be angry about anything, but I want to know what the fuck.
Yeah.
And then she gives some very legitimate sort of like, you just insulted me.
You just said why we should not be together.
And you think that I owe you civility? And you can see there's like this moment where he's almost like struck by it. Not like, yes, maybe a little bit because he feels like he got slapped in the face by it, but also him realizing that he's the one who fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, she tells him about Jane and then tells him about Wickham, and he starts getting angry, actually. And you can also see that shift where, like, she throws Jane at him and he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Knowing that she's a little bit right. And then it's Wickham. And then you can see the energy shift to, like, actual anger.
Yeah.
But you still get the sense that it's not anger towards Lizzie.
Right. It's anger towards, like, oh, that asshole is messing in this and I'm so mad at him.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's very clearly mad at himself too. And I think that's part of why I really enjoy Darcy, is that even when he's angry with Lizzie, he's not angry with Lizzie. He's angry at the circumstances. He's angry at other people who have influenced her, but he's never angry at her for her actions or her words. Their fights feel so equal. Like, yes, there's some communication difficulties that are happening here, but it's never as though they are trying to hurt the other person.
Well, he's not putting her down. in any of the, like, he insults her, right? But he is treating her as an equal.
He insults her before the fight starts.
But he in this pairing and in their fighting treats her as an equal, right? He doesn't talk down to her in the fighting, you know, like, well, you're just a lesser woman, right? Like, he insults her because of all the family stuff and all of that, but you can tell that he still holds an admiration for her and a respect for her.
And I will say that Lizzie, kind of in her seething, she is angry at Darcy. There is a direction to that where she is actually mad at him. But again, she is very much talking about the things that he's done based on her understanding of them and the way that he's acted. And she is pointing things out that have actual concrete things that can be discussed and talked about and shifted and changed, and their behavioral ends. She doesn't put him down until the very end as, like, you're an asshole. I don't like you as a person because you are an asshole. She doesn't do that until the end, until she gets superheated. And when she does that, Darcy does what you're supposed to do when that happens. And he says, thanks. You could not insult me in any other possible way. Bye.
Yep, and he bows and he leaves.
Yes,
And
he
is
does a
like, I'm
bow.
out. He's like, I'm out. I'm leaving.
And people talk about whether or not Lizzie and Darcy will have an actual successful marriage because of how much they fight, or they seem to fight, and that there is tension there and they disagree. But they actually demonstrate a certain level of healthy fighting. Like, we know what's coming next. You know what Darcy does? He writes a really big long letter about his feelings. And it's like, great, dude went away and, like, stayed
Thought
up
about
and
it.
processed this.
And I think that's the thing that, you know, when I think about it, when I put on like my social work hat and my therapy hat, when I think about relationships, whether those are romantic or familial or whatever that relationship is, that societally we're not great at healthy fighting, right? There's a propensity to either like fight dirty or try and run away from all problems and all fighting. And I think that a healthy relationship has a healthy fighting style because there is no way any long-term relationship you're going to go through it and not get into a fight, right? Like that's just how relationships are. So if people's concern about Lizzie and Darcy is that, like, oh, they're going to fight, every relationship's going to fight. It's how you fight that makes the bigger difference. And it's whether or not you can leave those moments and be able to step back from those moments too. Like I think Darcy's right in this moment to leave and say, like, nope, we should not keep going on this discussion right now. I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna think about my role in this and I'm gonna think about my part in it. And I will then share back with you what I have thought about and processed for myself in a way that doesn't feel confrontational.
Well, and I think I really appreciate that Darcy is kind of getting these accusations thrown at him, and he does not get defensive.
No.
He is absorbing it, maybe a little angrily, but he isn't trying to change her mind. He isn't trying to convince her that she's making a bad decision. He just wants to know why she's making the decision she's making. What information are you operating on? And then he honors her choice and walks away. Like, in terms of positive consent, he has demonstrated some good qualities. Like, she says no, and he's like, so that's it. I'm not going to get an explanation. And I'm pretty sure if Lizzie had been like, you're not, he would have been like, okay. And he would have walked away and been pissed, but that would have been the end of it.
I think I think we would not have gotten the same arc had Lizzie done that
Oh,
and
no, of
said like
course
no
not.
explanation. But I agree. I think Darcy would have been angry about it and frustrated by it and said like, okay, like I can't make you answer me, so I guess I'm gonna leave.
Yeah. And then when he does get his answer, if you had behaved in a more gentlemanlike manner, the thing that actually sticks with him, that we know sticks with him, is what causes him to actually reflect on his own behavior, not the sort of like, you did this and you did that. It's like, did you think that was the right way to propose to someone?
Right. Like, this was a bad proposal, dude. This is bad. Like, this
Yeah.
is textbook bad. I will say, this is not my worst nightmare proposal. I texted you a couple weeks ago. I had gone to an event and it was like in an arena. I was masked because COVID's still real, people. But someone proposed on the Jumbotron. That is my nightmare proposal. This, maybe a close second.
I think any proposal is a nightmare proposal going forward for me. Ugh.
Fair enough.
Ugh. Though, if someone did want to reenact a Jane Austen proposal, I'd be all for that.
Would you want them to reenact this proposal?
I mean, yes, because I get to say no at the end.
We're learning things about you. Mullets and sideburns, pinky rings, proposals you can reject.
Yes. Safety. There's safety in being able to say no.
Yes. There's a
I
trust in being able to say no.
actually feel like this moment for Lizzie and Darcy of being able to say no, and then Darcy coming back and re-engaging with Lizzie in a desire for a relationship with her demonstrates to Lizzie that Darcy will always be someone she can safely reject. She
Yes.
can tell him no, and the relationship will be safe, and he will actually listen to her no's.
Yeah, it's a way to build a secure attachment.
Well, and it is when people talk about like how do you create the environment where someone's going to say yes to you. You have to have created trust so that someone can say no. That's how you get enthusiastic consent, is when someone feels like they can say no. That's why the proposal at the end is so much more profound, even though it's not like a hugely profound proposal scene in terms of the dialogue that goes back and forth and the like swoony love moment. But it's profound because we've had this moment where Lizzie got to say no to a kind of angry dude, and he accepted it, walked away, didn't try and defend himself, presented her with a letter to be like, hey, if you want my explanation for things, here it is. I'm not going back on your no with this letter, but like,
Here's my reasoning. Here's my explanation.
yeah, and there's so much trust that gets built up in that, which is why I think this rejection is so important for so many layers of reasons, which I'm sure we'll continue to go into as we watch many more adaptations of things.
It's true. Yeah, and we've got three more episodes of the mini series. So hopefully we'll get back into them a little bit more quickly here. We can kind of finish up the mini series maybe before we start our next book. Unclear. We'll see. But yeah, I don't know. Do you have other final thoughts on this episode in particular?
No, just that I'm excited for more. I'm excited for you. Like, this is the one that I love the best. And we're gonna have so much content. I'm so excited. My brain's like, and this Pride and Prejudice, and this Pride and Prejudice, and this Pride and Prejudice. It will only get more ridiculous from here, and I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, I mean, this episode, my like final thoughts are just gay. It's so gay. And so that's really all the thoughts I have to leave with our listeners. But I think probably before this podcast comes out, but the week after the recording of this, I am actually going to see a play version of Pride and Prejudice all by myself. So I guess I'm becoming, I don't know, is that 5% more Jay Knight? Is that
Woohoo!
3%? Someone tell me how many more points that gets
I
me
don't
as
know.
a
I
Jay
think
Knight.
that's pretty Jay Knighty. I know some people who follow my account, and I don't know if they'd go to a play by themselves
I mean, I
for
do a
Jane
lot of
Austen.
things by myself,
That's fair.
though. So, like, there's a level of that of like, man, well, I want to go, so I'll just go. But I am gonna do that next week. Over the weekend, I'm gonna house sit and go to a play by myself.
Woohoo!
So, should be fun. Let's hope. And yeah, those are kind of my final thoughts on things. We'll watch the next episode hopefully soon and record another one of these. But if you're looking for more content right now, Kate and I are doing back and forth reaction videos to the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. And so I post on Tuesdays and Kate posts on Fridays, sometimes Saturdays. And yeah, we try and get each an episode in each week. And there's 100 episodes of those. So you'll have many weeks to watch of us back and forth talking to each other about it if you're interested. And you can find all of that content over on our Instagram at Austin Therapy Podcast. And Kate runs their meme account at Austin Therapy as well, which cross posts as well as Kate's memes. So follow both of those for more content from us if you're enjoying this.
Yeah. Stay tuned for more stuff as we do it. We'll be announcing the book that we're doing in a few weeks. I already know what we're doing, and I'm very excited. So let's just say that there's going to be a particular letter that hopefully makes Teresa swoon.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. I feel like we could do a better bye.
Okay. Do you
One,
want to
two.
do it again?
One, two, three. Bye.
Bye.
No, that was worse.
What do you want me to do? How do you want me to make this better? Do I need to go up an octave for not harmonizing? Down
Yeah.
an octave?
Bye.
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 Okay.
This is all that's going to get end up in there, isn't it?
And stuff.